Indeed, every asset in there I out, Hillary.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'd like some calls today to share the good news with us, I think. And no, it's not the good news when people generally want to share good news, right?
That's the other 23 hours on this station on Sunday.
Have you heard the good news?
Well, you know, the good news is, and, you know, last week when... I came to you and we just talked about the referendum 74 thing and the problems that we were having with the whole, you know, the whole situation about how they wouldn't put us on the coalition page and the fight we had to get the logo on there. Today, actually, not just today, but 20 hours after that episode, things had changed completely.
Yeah, this had originally started out, Dustin Lambro, the outreach coordinator, had a lot of problems with the A word.
Yeah,
I don't think he thought very highly of our ability to organize, but 20 hours changed his mind very quickly.
Very quickly. And so I come to you today being able to say that absolutely support Washington United for Marriage. Do everything you can with both Equal Rights Washington and Washington United for Marriage to get Referendum 74 passed in November. As we said last week, if they change their position, we would pull a 180 and we would say no, absolutely support them. And that's, like I said, 20 hours after, I received a phone call from the campaign manager at Washington United for Marriage. He was conciliatory. He apologized. He said he didn't understand, you know, he wasn't really clear on what was going on, but this was a mistake. And he apologized. I never expected that I would get an apology. I always thought it would be like, well, you know, good job, here's the logo, now get out of my face. No, it was positive, it was a good conversation.
And we got that apology because of people like you.
Absolutely.
That you went to the phones, you went to Facebook, you went to email, and let them know that there are ways that we do not accept being treated, and that we want to be treated just the same as every other coalition member, and because you spoke out, and because you made yourselves and your numbers known, that has happened.
I think, you know, Washington United for Marriage, the Campaign for Marriage Equality, is an important issue for people that are concerned with the separation of church and state. I, as an atheist, am very concerned with it, and I would not want any kind of religious tradition and dogma to be what our law is based on. I think that this is a really good step in the right direction for our state, for the campaign, for you know, the many atheists in Washington state.
And just as a show of support for Referendum 74 and how the atheist community steps up when people right wrongs and when people see the truth that we are equal members of society, the listeners and supporters and friends of Ask an Atheist have actually doubled the amount of money that we have raised for Referendum 74 since Washington United for Marriage reversed their decision. This is amazing to me. This is good for Washington United for Marriage. This is great for the atheism visibility movement. We have a success story unlike any success story that I ever thought I would be a part of. And again, that's because of the atheism visibility movement. That's because you contacted Washington United for Marriage. You gave money during the streamathon, and then you said, hey, if you're not going to support us, you know, there's a price to be paid. And they saw that price, and they didn't like it, and they changed their minds.
I think one of the most fabulous emails that we received, and I think we received this three times over, was, I heard your episode, I heard that the campaign would not, you know, recognize atheists out of fear, and so I asked for my money back, the contribution that I had made. And then, as soon as that was reversed, that decision was reversed, the same people said, I am asking for my money back. As soon as I receive it, they will receive it back doubled.
I think we would be remiss, too, if we didn't thank specifically some of the people who really rallied the troops on this. Martin Wagner of the Atheist Experience Show.
Absolutely. He wrote an incredible blog post.
Yeah, he really let people know how important it is that we get the word out about this. And Martin, I know we're fellow comics guys. I just want to say thank you to you and the rest of the folks down at the ACA in Austin. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and this was... This was a good moment for me, that not just because Ask an Atheist was a part of it. This would have been really important to me if any atheism organization in Washington State were in our position. The fact that we all came together, that we all said, this is wrong, this needs to get fixed. This shows the political and social strength of the community. This is not to get all weird and militaristic, but this was a test of strength of the atheism movement, just like the American Cancer Society thing was a test of strength of the atheism movement. Just, you know, it's just another one in a long line.
This is how it turns things around, is that politicians, for the most part, don't change their mind on issues, often because their heart grows three sizes like the Grinch. That changes right. because they understand, like with the gay community being a great example, there is money there. So when gay couples get married or start their own families, buy their own houses, there is money there, and there is no profit. There is nothing to be gained from bigotry.
Yeah.
And that number, it's growing, and we have to make that same sort of thing made, is that if we get involved in groups like this, if we let people know that we're one of the best allies that an organization can have, they'll welcome our support. We become not a group that gets shunned, but we become a constituency to be courted.
I think that it's been very amorphous for a long time about, you know, well, why would I specifically court atheists, or why would I specifically speak to, you know, an atheist mindset? Because the atheist mindset has been so amorphous for good reason. I mean, atheism just speaks to a lack of belief in God or gods. But when we talk about how atheists sort of just rights to exist and be full participants in our citizenry and in our, you know, state, that separation of church and state, or the discrimination that we experience by virtue of you know, religious folks having sort of the dominant you know, viewpoints, that really becomes clear. And
yeah.
So yes, atheism might just mean we don't believe in God, but you know what, we all experience some things universally.
Yeah, and as a result, we've added Washington United for Marriage back to our webpage. If you go to askanatheist.tv, you'll see the logo there. You can click on it and be taken to our team page. You can also go to askanatheist.tv/r74, and you will be taken directly to the Ask an Atheist team page for Washington United for Marriage. We need to show them that when you work with the atheism community, there is a benefit. And that is one of the, right now, in Washington, this is the best way to do it.
The organizing strength that we put forth to protest this can be rechanneled into supporting it. And this really lets them know that we can turn it around, and we're a group that you want to have on your side.
Yeah.
It's not just about punishing people when they do wrong, but it's also about rewarding people when they do good. And they did good here. So it's time to go to askanatheist.tv/r74 and let them know the atheism community has got their back. So maybe in a situation where our back needs a little watching, they may come to our defense.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we said in on the blog post, is that we knew that Washington United for Marriage was good people. I mean, we knew that there were a lot of good people there. And agreement with the decision to not include us on the webpage was far from unanimous. So that's something that we also have to understand. We've had some questions in the blog about, you know, are we under any agreement that we can't say certain things or can't talk about certain things or anything like that? The answer is absolutely not. No extra rules or anything were placed upon us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to, you know, would we really be able to talk about it like this right now?
No, and we wouldn't have agreed to those sorts of rules. Those are always opt-in, and I think that we're in a position now where they understand that we're a community that has strength,
yeah,
and they want that strength on their side. And I look forward to working with them.
I'm happy to give them that strength, at least from me.
Well, I have a Washington United for Marriage sign in the window of the studio now. And I you know, just as I felt really terrible coming to you guys last week and having to say, okay, now we have to talk about this. And just the fear and the uncertainty of the whole thing, it's a completely different situation today. We all did a really great job on that, I think, and the Ask an Atheist fans, listeners, and friends really, really...
And some new people.
And some new
people!
We're
so excited to be hearing new listeners, new readers. We welcome you, you know?
Yeah. So, now that we're done telling you to help us get marriage equality passed by using your checkbook, perhaps maybe supporting Ask an Atheist by using your checkbook might be appropriate. So, you know, we do have something called Peggy's Challenge, and we'd like to thank a couple people today. We have Gordon from San Mateo, California, and Charles from Altoona, Pennsylvania. And Peggy's Challenge was, wow, about 10 months ago now? It was a while ago, wasn't it?
It feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, Peggy from Kent asked the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help keep the show on the air. We are mostly supported by some advertising, but also by live events and donations. So if you'd like to donate to the cause to get Ask an Atheist Season 10 on the air, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button. Also, if you would like to get something for your donation, if you would like to be entertained, this Friday, September 7th, at the Jewel Box Theater at 2322 2nd Avenue in Seattle, we will have the Delivered from Dogma Night of Comedy. Please buy your tickets soon. It's an intimate venue and seating is limited. We have Jeremy Whitman, co-creator and sometimes host of Ask an Atheist, a nationally touring comedian of the Mobile Asylum Tour. We also have Brad Upton. He's a past winner of the Las Vegas Comedy Festival, and he's a part of the HBO Comedy Festival. Guests also include Ron Reed and Emmett Montgomery. We just discovered this today, that it's going to be an even bigger night of comedy than we thought. Again, Friday, September 7th at 7 p.m., 2322 2nd Avenue in Seattle. If you'd like to buy tickets, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the, and it's right at the top in the prominent window.
Exactly. And if you're not able to make it because not all of our listeners are in the Washington, Seattle area, you can still support us. These events do keep us on the air, and sometimes we're living pretty hand to mouth,
yeah,
including right now. Yeah. So if you're not able to make it out for a great night of comedy, we'd be happy to take your money in absentia. Again, go to askanatheist.tv, click the yellow button on the left hand of the screen, and please give us some love so we can keep giving you radio.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's scary, but it's scary.
And, you know, we do want to thank Jeremy and Brad and Ron and Emmett for working with us, for working with Ask an Atheist. Yeah. Last time we heard from Jeremy and Brad, they were going to be returning. It was a great night with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious, really funny, very smart comedy.
And it was a great night all around. The audience was really entertained. And the comedians had a great time entertaining this audience. And when there's that back and forth, when everybody's enjoying what's happening in the room, you can tell, and it makes it just that much more of a fun evening. So really, if you don't make it to live comedy a lot, make it to this one, because this is gonna, as far as I'm concerned, this is gonna be special. So we also have one more announcement. Friend of the show, and he's been on several times now, Sean Faircloth is going to be in the area. He has a speaking engagement in Kennewick on Sunday, September 16th at 2 p.m. This is hosted by the Tri-City Freethinkers, and it's going to be at the Kennewick Library. And he's going to be doing his talk, How the Religious Right Harms Us All and What We Can Do About It. You can go to meetup.com or richarddawkins.net for more information. And, well, actually, we just discovered something about this as well, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Sam and myself, Becky, we are going to be there. So
yeah,
if you want to come out and meet some of the members of Ask an Atheist at this event and talk with the Tri-City Freethinkers, please join us.
And see an incredibly compelling speech.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it too, but I don't know what my work schedule is yet. But,
An incredibly compelling speaker. He's been a great guest on the show.
He's right now the Director of Strategy and Policy for the Richard Dawkins Foundation for Reason and Science in the United States.
Former Majority Whip of the Maine State Legislature.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy, great speaker. I want to hear more of him.
So, also, a lot of people were expecting the Camp Quest Northwest episode this week, and I have to apologize. It's been kind of a rough week for me, with in and out of the doctor and just other weird things happening around my house. Or
yeah, Sam, who died?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was a neighbor, but
there was some police activity around our house. There was some dentistry woes, all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, so as a result, I couldn't get to editing, and I'm so sorry. But the Camp Quest Northwest episode, which will be I've got like 3.5 hours of material to get through for Camp Quest Northwest. There's some amazing stuff out there. I had some interviews that you would not have expected at a kids' camp, and I had there's some really excellent moments, and I just want to make sure I do the job right. And so that episode is going to be, what, 2 weeks from today?
I believe on September 16th is what we're shooting for.
Yeah, it's better to do it well than to do it rushed.
Yeah, so thanks for giving me that advance. So
please stay tuned for some really great stuff from one of the most amazing summer camps that I've ever been a part of. And
yeah,
it's the inaugural summer of Camp Quest Northwest.
Were you on Nightline?
Yes, we did have a little appearance on Nightline. I had my own little screenshot. Not interviewed personally, but...
Yeah.
That's like the second time you've made national news in recent history.
Yes. Well, Reuters did carry a photo of me.
I think she's really photogenic. I mean, especially compared to us, I suppose.
Well, that's not a high bar to cross there, Sam. I pretty much look like a giant thumb.
Yeah, there is that picture with when we met Richard Dawkins, and I'm in the lower right hand corner, and it's just my shoulders and head, and I've never looked more like a fire hydrant before in my life. It's amazing. I look like a fire hydrant with eyes. So we also, just on the day that I went to Camp Quest Northwest, this was what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now.
Yes,
we received a snail mail from someone who's talked to the show often and has been a friend of the show, Kate Incognita, which is a great name. And she sent us a message. She sent us a political pamphlet.
It was a voter's guide.
It was a voter's guide from where she lives to underscore how religion plays into politics. And it was annotated and everything.
Yeah, I looked at it as es muy guano loco, I suppose. It was interesting.
That's Mike's stab at Spanish. We'll leave it to the Spanish teacher, Mike.
So, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're going to try and do something with it. And you also asked us recently if you were going to get a copy of Bob's book for donating at the Streamathon. And the answer to that is yes. So, check your mail as well. And this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Got a lot of good news today. Got some of the really important stuff out of it out of the way, and we have more, just a lot of cool stuff.
Today's atheist movement isn't just about what we don't believe in, it's about what we do believe in. On September 15th, our sponsor, Seattle Atheists, is holding the annual board member elections and big idea meeting. And they want to hear from you. What do you want our local godless organization to take on? Our input will shape their actions. Interested in getting involved? Seattle Atheists is seeking engaged, civic-minded non-theists who want to affect real change in our communities. Whether you identify as a secular humanist focused on social justice, or as a freethinker who's determined to keep religion out of government, our involvement is needed now. What will you do to shape the future? Seattle Atheists Elections and the Big Idea Meeting are on Saturday, September 15th at 2 p.m. at the Shoreline Public Library. Attendance is open to everyone, with membership required to vote and run for office. For a full list of open positions and to read candidate statements, visit seattleatheists.org. Seattle Atheists Big Idea Meeting. seattleatheists.org.
Da-da-da-da.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Washington United for Marriage is working hard to affirm marriage equality in Washington. Ask an Atheist proudly stands united with this campaign. The secular laws that govern our pluralistic society must not adhere to religious doctrine. Bolster the wall of separation between church and state and bolster families and loving partnerships. For freedom of and freedom from religion, vote to approve Referendum 74. To contribute to the campaign, go to askanatheist.tv/r74. This ad was paid for by Ask an Atheist.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we have some news for you.
the King of America is dead.
The King of America?
Yeah, actually, this was an interesting one. It was a private ceremony where he was, where it's Reverend Moon. And Sun Myung Moon, the leader of the Unification Church, popularly known as the Moonies, died today. The aged cult leader was famous for his mass wedding of followers, his ownership of the conservative Washington Times newspaper, his bicentennial rallies, and his 13-month prison sentence in the 1980s for tax evasion. In the 1970s, when cults like Moon's were most popular, he was known for brainwashing young people into selling flowers and trinkets on the streets of New York for almost no pay. Often these young people would have to be rescued by deprogrammers. Moon preached in his speeches and literature that he was the new Messiah, chosen by God to complete Jesus' failed mission on Earth. He envisioned a world where all world religions would unite under him as a God-king. He frequently claimed to have beyond-the-grave endorsements from figures like Confucius and Theodore Roosevelt. For years, Moon has seemed like a reclusive figure, owning a near monopoly on U.S. sushi production and fishing, and trying to build a bizarre machine to talk to the dead. In 2004, Moon burst back into the headlines when a number of members of Congress participated in a surreal private ceremony in a Senate office building where Moon was crowned the King of Peace and the Messiah. The New York Times compared it to the Emperor Caligula appointing his horse as consul. That would be Incitatus. And he was 92 years old and died from complications from pneumonia, I believe?
Yes.
Okay.
The interesting thing with that ceremony is they literally crowned him the King of Peace. And when they say the King of Peace, you know how Jesus is called the Prince of Peace? Well, Moon did not. He wanted to one-up Jesus. That's essentially what he did. So when he took part in this ceremony that had members of Congress and the Senate from both parties participating, they literally put a cape on him. They literally put a crown on him that was about 2 feet tall. None of them actually think he's the Messiah, but this guy throws a lot of money around. Since the 1970s or so, when he was branded a dangerous cult leader and he was denounced by the religious right, he's managed to buy his way out of it. This is a guy who basically bailed out Liberty University, Jerry Falwell's crazy school, with $3.5 million. And since he's been throwing a lot of money down, especially through the conservative Washington Times newspaper, people don't like to criticize him.
No. The news reporting on Reverend Moon's death has been surprisingly neutral, or sometimes neutral positive, for somebody who exploited young people. And who tried to basically be a king of America. I find this. We have a very strong stance on cults, and the Moonies were a cult.
It's a weird thing because the Moonies haven't had that much power for a very long time. They were at their heights in the 70s when they had those big mass weddings at like Madison Square Garden with thousands of people being married all at once. But the cult is this tiny little shriveled vestigial nub of what it used to be.
Yeah.
But all this Messiah stuff, he never really pushes it outward. It's always directed inward towards the cult. So I've never seen somebody spend so much money to impress such a tiny, shrinking number of people.
But where did this money come from?
That's the thing, is nobody really seems to know.
Yeah.
John Gorenfeld, who wrote a book that I would highly recommend called Bad Mood Rising, how Reverend Moon charmed the religious right. And he's never been able to find any source of this. I mean, we've looked at it. He's always seemed to have money, but ever since he was in his 20s or 30s, he said that he was there to complete Jesus' failed mission.
So even with the tax evasion trial and jail time, we never found out what the source of this was?
Not really. It's in multiple countries. As you've probably learned in the news in recent weeks, if you hide money in other countries, it's often hard to find out how much there is.
Yeah, and well, was the seed capital from that money the people selling trinkets on the streets of New York? I mean, how much of this money comes from, say, operating his newspaper, and how much of it comes from basically bilking cult members? I mean, that's my question.
The seed money seems to be because Moon started out as a factory owner, and I think it seemed to start from there. But when he actually came to the United States in the 1970s, it was supplemented by a lot of the stuff, you know, with basically exploiting poor people.
Right.
And getting these people who really believed that he was the new Messiah to give him money. But since then, almost all the money comes through the newspaper, through the fact he owns the wire service, United Press International.
Yeah.
Helen Thomas quit when he took over.
So what happens now? I mean, this is always something we have to be I've always been interested in is what happens when, like, what happened to Scientology when L. Ron Hubbard died? What happened to the Mormons when Joseph Smith died? What do you think is going to happen to the Moonies now that Reverend Moon is gone?
I think they're probably going to talk about him in terms like, you know, when Hubbard died, they talk about him leaving his body.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see the same kind of language here.
Okay.
He does have a number two in the cult, and that's a guy named Bohee Pak.
Oh, okay.
Who's been brought before the Senate to explain why they're not a dangerous cult. I mean,
oh boy.
Notice that those Senate hearings ended when he started throwing money around at politicians. And right. It's not like when you have that crazy Senate building ceremony where he's crowned the king. Those people don't really believe he's a king. That's not binding.
Right.
Those people are humoring a crazy person who gives them money.
Yeah.
And what we really learn is in the context of American politics, if you throw money around with enough commas in it, that people will tolerate any amount of insanity from you.
Yeah. And if you're wondering why we're saying it's good news that somebody is dead, I'm just going to go, I'm going to paraphrase Christopher Hitchens and say, now there is one less person on the earth claiming to speak directly for God or to be related to God. And that's really all that needs to be said. We also have some more good news. And a few weeks ago, before all this Referendum 74 thing stuff went public, we announced, actually, it was an important project for us at Ask an Atheist. We had our political quiz.
Yes, we sent out 51 questionnaires to candidates running for the President of the United States and every state-wide race that's currently being decided on the November ballot here in Washington State.
Yeah, yeah. And we got our first response, didn't we?
Yes. John R. Adams, the insurance commissioner candidate for the Republican Party, sent us a questionnaire with some interesting answers. We're not going to really get into what those answers are.
Yeah.
But when we get more of these things in, but if you want us to get more of these answers, go to askanatheist.tv. There's a page called Let's Slip the Dogs of Questionnaire. please click on that. There's a list of phone numbers. If you want these people to answer to issues that are a matter to the atheist and skeptic community but often get neglected, give them a phone call and say, I want you to answer the Ask an Atheist radio show questionnaire.
Absolutely. Every phone call that politicians receive to do something just raises the possibility that we're going to get more of these responses because they are, if you are in their constituency, they are trying to get you to vote for them. They want something from you. They want to have this job that works for you. So in order to convince you to do that, make it clear that the questions we're asking are of importance to you, at least most of them. There were a couple fun ones, but was it 85% serious, was it?
85.6.
85.6% serious. And just let the politicians know that these things are meaningful to you and that they really deserve an answer.
And we don't even have to change the politician's mind. We don't have to make them think that atheists are good people or we have to make them realize that they can't help to avoid us.
Right,
that
right.
We assert ourselves by making those phone calls. They know that each one of those phone calls represents not just that one voter, but a number of voters. And if we make ourselves a constituency that they cannot help but address the concerns of, they will answer.
Yeah, yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we've got a lot of good news today. And but we're going to take a moment out of the good news and have some fun. A few weeks ago, I talked about my furtive religion propaganda collection, if you remember this conversation.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it.
I live with it.
And I asked you if that was okay. Is this a kind of thing that it's okay for an anti-theistic atheist to have a collection for? Am I somehow fanning the flames of weird religion by collecting this stuff? It was a question that I had.
And we got the answer in yes, Sam is a terrible person.
I'll accept being a terrible person for that. I will.
We actually got a lot of supportive emails. If I can read one from the prof from Liverpool in the UK. He writes, Dear Sam, a member of our group, Mayorside Skeptic Society, bought a box full of those pamphlets. I think he's referring to the box of every chick track ever made.
Right.
Yes. And brought them along to skeptics in the pub meeting, and we all had a read of them and ended up either laughing or just disgusted. So there's nothing wrong in reading that It deserves some, you know, it serves some purposes, including knowing how crazy believers must be to acknowledge this, and knowing your adversary, and getting ideas, and doing your own skit on them. So carry on in your indulgence, with my blessing.
I actually have that collection, too, if it's the collection I'm thinking of. It's one of the things you can do with Chick Tracts is, it's like a $10 sampler, and they send you one of every tract that they have available at the time. And I did that. Oh, probably about 10 years ago, and I got a copy of Dark Dungeons, and I was so happy, because I didn't realize it was back in print.
Yeah, Dark Dungeons, if you're not familiar, is the anti-Dungeons & Dragons Chick Tract. It's a little religious propaganda comic about how losing your character in D&D will cause you to not only commit suicide, but possibly be involved in horrible demonic rituals.
It's my fault Blackleaf died! That is my favorite line. If you haven't seen it, you need to check it out.
I know that Libby, who's a frequent host of the show, has said that she's actually named a pet after Blackleaf.
No kidding. I have no idea.
I think it's a snake.
There was something I wanted to do for Ask an Atheist business cards, which we might talk about, is if you print 10,000, if you order 10,000 tracks from Jack Chick, from his company, they will let you put like your church or your organization on the back.
I think they specify your church, your congregation, or your business.
Yes. And
we still qualify.
We're a business. Yeah. And I thought, wouldn't that be the best business card ever? to say, yes, I would like to buy your pamphlet, but you have to print Ask an Atheist on the back.
Oh, money, you can't turn that down.
No.
There is a point where they're going to say, well, they're horrible sinners, but they're getting the good word.
Yeah. My suggestion was Last Generation.
The Last Generation, this is the... probably the best Chick Tract I've ever seen. It actually managed to dethrone Dark Dungeons as my favorite religious propaganda comic.
Yeah.
It's probably the best version of kind of end-of-the-world paranoia that I've ever seen, including the, they called him, the New Age Healer?
The New Age Healer who looks like...
he looks like the Noid from Domino's Pizza.
I think it's sort of a cross between Phantom Limb and the Huge Nuge. I mean, I think, and a facial scar. I mean, those three things, you get the New Age Healer in Last Generation.
That's the thing you learn from Jack Chick, is that subtlety is not exactly his strong suit.
No.
So if you're a bad guy, you're either sweaty, or you have stubble, or you have a scar.
The kid in that, the character, they probably spent 3 weeks just drawing the pictures of that kid alone, because they made every, I have to say, that's pretty good artwork, because every line shows you how screwed up this kid is, and how he is imbibed with, he's imbibed the word of Satan or whatever. I don't know. But
I'd highly recommend it, folks. It's a great world. It's this weird paranoia fantasy that they have about what the end times look like. Evil New Age healers taking over, teaching kids to sacrifice animals and making Christianity illegal.
It is kind of mini Left Behind.
You know, but the thing is that Chick Tracts from aren't the only religious drivel that you're a collector of, and this also came out in some of our feedback. Gabriel from Columbus said that he's been enamored with dozens of books written by Lee Strobel, Kirk Cameron, and the rest of the crowd, and that his radio in his car is permanently tuned to hyper-conservative Christian talk radio. So there's a lot of different propaganda out there. It's great to collect sort of know your enemy.
He says, in addition to our podcast, he listens to William Lane Craig and a Faircast, which is produced by a Mormon apologetics organization. So he says he's completely on board with consuming these things as well, but he does strive to ensure that he doesn't provide any of them with any money. They neither need nor deserve it. So he tries to buy used things on Amazon or from secondhand stores. And that is kind of the rub with the Jack Chick business cards, is that we would be giving money directly to the Jack Chick organization.
I'm going to toss this out there. Is Jack Chick a real human being?
There have been... He's notably reticent to be seen publicly.
I've seen an illustration of him, but is he like the guy who wrote the Hardy Boys novels, where it's one name that a bunch of people write under?
He's a figurehead?
Yeah. But independent journalists have had interviews with Jack Chick, so... I'm willing to believe that he's a real person. He doesn't draw all of the tracks. He actually has a staff of Christian cartoonists to write these comics. So
that's like Walt Disney signing comic strips he didn't do. So I get that.
Yeah. So also we have one more email. This is Don from New York, and he writes, "Your interest is very normal. It's like being a fan of the movie Troll 2, not because it's good, but because it's so bad it's good. Also, a follow-up question. If you had all the money in the world when you are immortal, and you are immortal, what will you do? I use this question as an analogy for heaven.
I just like that it's a definite, what will you do? Not hypothetical, what would you do? I think that Don thinks that it's inevitable that we'll have all the money in the world and be immortal. Yeah, so thanks, Don.
Is this Don or Ray Kurzweil? Yeah. No, it's Don. Okay. So what would you do?
Well, I'd live comfortably, not like extravagantly. I don't need like a helicopter pad, but yeah. I would give a lot of money away. And here's the thing. Should I talk about my idea for the small town in Florida now? Or should I save that?
Let's save the
Okay, because I found that most of my ideas that involve having unlimited wealth involve trolling really terrible people.
Yeah.
And knowing that if I bother them long enough, well within the bounds of my civil rights and my free speech, that I'll eventually win in the courts, provided I have enough money.
Let's leave a teaser. What is the name of your fictional town in Arizona?
Oh, Abortion, Florida.
Yes. Okay.
It's specifically to troll the guy who runs Ave Maria University, who in the late 2000s tried to start his own Christian theocracy, a Catholic theocracy in the middle of Florida.
Okay, so what would Mike do with the money? Be a jerk. What would you do?
I actually question whether money would still be in play if I were immortal. I mean, if I were immortal, I assume that other people would be immortal, too. And so I'm not sure that money would take the same kind of, you know, form that it has now. I think that I would be drawn to philanthropy, trying to, you know, eliminate as much suffering, raise the bar, all that good stuff. I'm a bleeding heart.
I would invigorate the space program and end up as a subsistence farmer on Venus. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Having a lot of fun today. This is a good news episode. So we'll be back in a moment with more fun stuff.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules, a variation on our usual fantasy campaign system. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shape-shifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, as well as a listing of other products and to get involved in the community forums.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
This November in Washington State, we have an opportunity to strike a blow against religious privilege and become the first state to legalize marriage equality by a majority of voters.
Some people might be confused about why we're asking you to vote to approve Referendum 74. I mean, didn't the people opposed to equal rights get this on the ballot? Well, yeah, they did.
When the Washington State Legislature passed marriage equality earlier this year and Governor Greg Warr signed it, the religious right challenged that law.
Now we are the legislature.
When you vote to approve Referendum 74, you are voting to approve the exact same bill the legislature passed.
We believe that real religious liberty means a secular government that respects diversity, where no one's religious ideology is imposed on anyone through the force of law.
Vote to approve extending equality and respect to all Washington families. Vote to approve Referendum 74 this November 6th.
To help make it happen, donate to Washington United for Marriage through the Ask an Atheist team page.
Go to askanatheist.tv/r74.
We're the producers of Ask an Atheist,
and we pay for this ad.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And before we get into the more good news, we have a post show today, and it's at a new location. It's at the Overtime Bar and Grill on 6th Avenue and Alder in Tacoma. This is a new one for us. We haven't been here before, so we like to want to make a good impression.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we love listeners to join us afterwards. Most of our shows, we meet up an hour later for. And, you know, drinks, conversation, camaraderie. So even if you've never come
out before,
even if you've never come out to a post-show event before, you know, please join us. We love newcomers.
Yeah.
the good news keeps going. And this is Ask an Atheist. Again, 253-584-1480. Rick Warren, somebody we've talked about a lot. And he lied about the presidential forum cancellation. So in 2008, megachurch pastor Rick Warren hosted both the Democratic and the Republican nominees for president and grilled them about their religious beliefs and on topics like abortion. This forum has been called off this year, and Warren is actually lying about why. The megachurch pastor who authored The Purpose-Driven Life says that he chose to cancel this year's forum and disinvite both Barack Obama and Mitt Romney because of their incivility. This is a change coming from the same Rick Warren who compared homosexuality to bestiality and blamed the Aurora shooting on the teaching of evolution. According to CNN, sources close to both the Romney and Obama campaigns tell a different story. Apparently, it wasn't Rick Warren that canceled the event, but the tepid response from the campaigns to participate. The Romney campaign source even went so far as to tell CNN, "We were never going, ever. We offered to do a video." Ouch.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So this is a guy trying to cover his ass in the face of his waning relevance.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I can't help but laugh, but I'm also very happy about this because I was a little bit scared. The presidential candidates for the major parties always do their own debates that they run themselves.
Yeah.
They have a third group that basically is just a go-between their negotiations. So it's rare that they ever both appear at an event put on by anybody.
Right.
To be grilled. I mean, that's not something that they're a fan of. So that when they went to Rick Warren, I was a little bit scared that this is going to become a tradition, that part of the road to the White House ran through the Saddleback Church, and that this guy who is trying to be the new Billy Graham was going to become a permanent fixture. But it looks like that is a dead possibility, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
You know, we do see a lot of religion being infused into politics and into candidacies. But at the same time, there are polls that are coming out that say that increasingly Americans are really displeased with religion coming into politics and determining that kind of thing. So, you know, you have New York Times that puts out polls like 45% of Americans are disgusted with religion being mixed with politics. And, you know, I think that the both campaigns, you know, turning this offer down is kind of a good sign, saying, you know what, we really just don't want to entertain this.
I think Rick Warren was really trying to be Billy Graham plus, because Billy Graham, I mean, he was sort of the pastor of the presidents. That was his thing. And but he was always in the background. It was like he was like the guy on
when you go into MySpace, yeah. Tom, the guy who you get as a default friend,
right? One of your first meetings the week you you started working in the Oval Office was your meeting with Billy Graham. But that was basically it. Rick Warren wanted to be an active part of the political process, which I think was a few steps farther along than Billy Graham was, until Billy Graham turned into like old grandpa.
Yeah. But scary thing is that Rick Warren gave the invocation at President Obama's inauguration the first time.
Yeah.
So I was really, really scared that this guy was a permanent fixture in the presidency level, that he was that Billy Graham plus you're talking about.
Right.
But, oh my goodness, I am happy that's not the case, that this is a guy who's going to continue to complain. But when he loses out on this, he's not likely to have to kick this up again. But let's be honest about why Mitt Romney was very likely to turn this down.
That's the thing, is I thought Romney would sort of welcome this opportunity to show himself as a fine, upstanding Christian.
But there's a lot of people in his own conservative religious right base that don't think he's a Christian.
Right.
And many of whom have denounced him as a cult member. Wiley Drake, the same guy who prayed for Obama to be, you know, killed, I guess, by a lightning bolt.
That guy's name was Wiley Drake?
Wiley Drake!
A Mega Man enemy.
he basically put out this thing saying that a vote for Romney was a vote for Satan back in 2007.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of anti-Mormon sentiment, and you can tell that the last thing that Mitt Romney wants to talk about in this election is Kolob and magic underwear and celestial multi-wives in the afterlife.
Okay.
And when you have an evangelical like Rick Warren bringing it up, the odds of that coming up are not zero.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who sees, like, well, the odds are that Obama's going to get elected again. I want to get that spot in his inauguration, and it doesn't hurt me with my conservative evangelical base to go after the Mormons.
Yeah, to me, like Rick Warren and the guy from Mars Hill,
are kind of peas in the pod. They're both products of sort of the megachurch
movement. That would be Mark Driscoll.
Mark Driscoll, yeah. There seems to be a lot of similarity there. Popular for reasons that astound me. Known to say really crazy things that say more about them than they do about the society they're trying to describe. Blah, blah, blah. I'm also glad. I find that the Rick Warren tradition of blessing the candidates is also, becoming one with history. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to do a quick related email. This is Andrea from Seattle, and she writes, "In addition to being an atheist, I'm an active in the Democratic Party. I don't care what the Republicans do at their events, but I feel strongly that there is no place for religion at events for the party that is supposed to be inclusive and protect the separation of church and state for the secular society called for by the Constitution. I am very upset that when I went to the Washington State Democratic Convention in June, it was opened with an invocation. Not just any invocation, it was a long, very Christian, very religious invocation. If they had to do something, shouldn't it be secular, even if it's delivered by a clergyman? I desperately want to work to change this, but I don't know how to go about it. I want to have a strategy so it doesn't backfire on me and damage my reputation within the party. Is there anything you can do? Is there any help you can give me so I can be an activist? I'm tired of atheists being doormats when we are wrong." This one is important to me, and I think it's important to you as well.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, we spent a week talking about this sort of similar situation, is that politicians, they kiss up to the religious.
Yeah.
In a big way, and obviously that on the liberal end of the spectrum, it's really no different, which is that they have a situation where they're frequently accused of being atheists.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll push down on the gas and rev up the religious engine a lot more to make a scene about it.
You know, I'm surprised that Andrea experienced a very long, very Christian, very religious invocation, because a lot of invocations are meant to be nods to a general sense of a pluralistic spirituality. They're often very ecumenical in nature. So the call for something to be secular is sort of to a party that's already giving a very Christian, invocation. That might be, one step too far. It might be, easier to say, hey, can we have something that's a little bit more open and acknowledging of people of, various beliefs and non-beliefs.
I think the "in God we trust" on the money thing is very important, and I think that's something we definitely need to talk about, especially in light of what was some things that were said at the recent Republican convention. But I find the opening of every legislative body and every political thing in America to be opened with a religious convocation, I find that to be a bigger problem, a bigger encroachment upon secularism in the United States. And this is something I definitely want to do. However, this is something I want to talk to you about, Mike, is I don't think there's a way she can do this without harming her reputation. She's going to become a squeaky wheel. People are going to notice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would say, Andrea, that in this case, if you're going to be that squeaky wheel, you have to make a choice about what sort of activist you're going to be. Are you primarily a political partisan activist, or are you an atheist activist? Because they both can't be number one on the list. I'm not saying, oh, you have to choose one. But as soon as you open Pandora's box on one of those, you cannot help but hurt yourself with some people in the party.
You don't want to say that she's going to have to choose one. You don't want to force a choice on her. But the thing is it's not going to be you and I as the atheists forcing this choice on her. It's going to be the political operatives within her political party forcing this choice on her. That is the problem, is if you're going to step up and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this, maybe this isn't what America is supposed to be about, then people are going to say, no, everybody likes to think that here in the Puget Sound area in, Western Washington, that we're all very liberal, all, very ecumenical. But that's the thing. Ecumenical means religious. It doesn't really, the definition that most people use for ecumenical doesn't include us.
It specifically excludes those without belief. To be ecumenical is to be pluralistic and religious. I think, I am a public school teacher, and we have, by our principal, an opening address to the faculty and then an opening address to our students at our first assembly. If we could say that in our political governmental processes, we could have an opening address and change that from an opening religious invocation, I think that would go a long way towards being truly inclusive.
Yeah, yeah. I think I don't really have any answers for Andrea, but I'm going to ask, everybody, if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, there's something that did come up. Gallup actually did just do a poll, and one of the things they found, not only were 46% of people young Earth creationists, but it wasn't limited to just the Republicans. In fact, 41% of Democrats and 39% of Independents. Those aren't the majority in those categories, but it's the largest group in both categories.
Yeah.
So if you go to the state legislature, or not just the state legislature, but the state Democratic Convention, Andrea, and bring this up, you are going to ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are feathers that are necessarily ruffled so that over time people learn to accommodate you and understand that 25% of us in the Pacific Northwest of state of Washington are non-believers,
yeah,
and that we're somebody that you don't want to alienate, because 25% can change an election.
Let's look at how we handled the referendum 74 thing. We had to ruffle feathers. We had to yell at a guy. We had to yell at a guy to get this done. We had to make our case. We had to be shouted down. We had to shout back. And then we needed a show of strength. This is the way things are done in politics.
One of the things we did do, though, was to try and work within an infrastructure beforehand. So, Andrea, you could try working, behind closed doors first. Do a little bit of negotiation. Do a little bit of networking. Do a little bit of friend-making.
I'm not suggesting go in rhetorical guns blazing. I'm not suggesting that. What I think we're saying is that even if you make a modest request, a humble request, a polite request, the people that you're worried about ruffling the feathers of will not see it that way. They won't.
Yes, you have to give them the opportunity to be reasonable. And if they don't take that that opportunity up and act reasonably,
yeah,
you take it up a notch.
Yeah.
And you push a little more forcefully. You don't go right to, DEFCON 4 right away,
right,
where you have a big public thing, but sometimes you can solve these things behind closed doors. Maybe there are other people that feel that way. Find an opportunity to get those people on your side.
Sure, sure. So let's get a, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Let's get a little international here. We have a really interesting story that I wanted to highlight, because this is a good news episode, and while we were talking about the kind of silly and ridiculous creationist views Gallup poll, we're going to try and stay up on this one. And Leo Igwe lives in Nigeria and is studying the witch camps of northern Ghana. Basically, women who are accused of being witches are expelled from their villages, and if they're not lynched, they may end up in these camps. But how do these camps operate? How are they administered? How do they come about? And how do the accused end up in them? There's no good answer to these questions, so Leo has set out to answer them. He says, the consequences of witchcraft accusation are dire and diverse, he says. Those accused of witchcraft are often subjected to inhuman and degrading treatment by states and non-state agents. They are feared and treated as enemies to society. Those alleged to be witches are attacked, exiled, or lynched by mobs, forced to drink concoctions by local diviners or traditional medicine men and women. They're subjected to abusive treatment in the name of exorcism by pastors and other godmen and women, and they're persecuted and jailed by the states. Some of those accused of witchcraft who survive the ordeal are then exiled from their homes and forced to live in camps or on the streets. Witchcraft accusations are the root of the egregious instances of human rights abuses and social problems across many regions of Africa. They fuel hatred, conflicts, and mistrust in families beyond the communities across Africa. That sounds like bad news, right? That's clearly bad news.
Well, clearly.
But however, Leo Igwe is a humanist. And the Foundation Beyond Belief, an organization that Hemant Mehta works with, and he's the guy who got us this information, has given Leo a grant to pursue his studies, but he could still use more funding. This is exactly, and he's getting this grant because of the atheism visibility movement.
Absolutely. This is a way for us to come together and do some real good in the world.
Yeah.
And it's often brought up, the horrible things that Islam does around the world, and rightfully so.
Right.
But it's often overlooked what the sort of traditional medicine, sort of tribal religion, and in this case, often Christian pastors are doing this awful stuff where people are being killed in the name of faith.
Yeah.
Branded as witches, sometimes even children have acid thrown in their face or set on fire. This is a way to get to the bottom of this. And if we can put sunlight on this, we can start the process of ending it. So I highly recommend you help out. Go to foundationbeyondbelief.org. Help this study. Let's start the healing process by dragging this into the sunlight.
There's a lot of people, there's sort of a fallacy here that just because a civilization or a culture was on the receiving end of imperialistic might,
that they were somehow, you know, peaceniks who never hurt anybody before that happened. That there's a fallacy, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, that Western civilization is the root of all human rights abuses. And that's not true.
No, nobody was the Care Bears before the ships came to the shore.
Yeah.
Often, in the end, we're talking about people who were human beings. And guess what human beings do to each other sometimes?
Yeah.
They kill each other. They enslave each other. Not all of us, but it does happen.
And just like the foundation, you know, the referendum 74 thing was important, this is important. This is just as important for completely different reasons.
You know, it's great. This Leo Igwe is going to be doing research, going to be documenting this sort of stuff, which then makes it easier for humanitarian and humanist organizations and philanthropists to go and say, how do we help eliminate this kind of human rights abuse? How do we help these individuals who suffer at the hands of this bigotry and irrationality?
Yeah, yeah. So thank you again, Hemant, for bringing this to our attention. This is really good news, and I'm really glad to see Foundation Beyond Belief working towards getting this into the light. Let's do one quick email before we wrap up. This is James from the UK, and he writes, we have health warnings and cigarettes warning that you may get cancer. Isn't it time we had health warnings in the Bible that you might go bonkers?
Well, I don't even know what to say to this sort of email. On one level, there's the joke answer, oh yes, of course the Bible makes you crazy.
Yeah.
The Bible has crazy stuff in it, but I wouldn't say that the Bible itself makes you crazy. All it does is that when somebody does have a mental health thing and something in their brain goes snap, it shapes their outburst. That if the Bible says you should kill this person or you should enslave this person or stone this person, that's what the crazy person does.
You know, the Bible is a book. It's you know, all about how we treat the book, how we interpret the book, and how we use the book for our you know, poor ends or good means. I mean, I think that there's not a lot that can be done. You know, there's a lot of work that has to be done on the Bible to make it mean good things and inspire people to do good things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we manage. I don't know.
I think it's a very good point. People are going to act out and be crazy no matter what. It's just that religion gives it is a funnel for those things. I would feel really uncomfortable with warnings in the front of Catcher in the Rye. I would be really uncomfortable with warnings in front of anything by Richard Wright. I would be really uncomfortable with warnings in front of any piece of literature.
I vehemently, you know, hate the proposed warnings on the covers of science textbooks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've fight against that for a while in different school districts to say that, you know, this biology textbook is just a theory. Please take, you know, with a grain of salt. It might make you go bonkers.
Yeah, we're talking about some people who are mentally ill, and one of my things that I really fear about religion is it often shields mental illness for a long time. You don't know they're crazy, somebody who hears voices, until they start talking to God, and then they kill somebody.
Yeah, and that's what we got for today. It's a really good episode. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam. With me today was Mike Gillis and Rebecca Friedman. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman. Our production assistant was Jerry Schiffelman. Our post show is at the Overtime, 6th Avenue in Alder in Tacoma. This is a new one. You really want to be there. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv or leave us a voicemail, 206-420-0997. We'll see you guys next week.
Clay Radio, your conversation station. KLAY Lakewood, Tacoma, on 1180 AM.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.